you in the 06010.
Welcome to Fantasy Focus. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. And if you're listening to the audio feed, today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcasts. And with that, we say hello. Happy Tuesday, August 24th. Happy birthday to Bill Yates, my dad, my twin.
Papa Yates.
Papa Yates, yeah.
Shout out to Papa 74 Yates.
74 years young. Wouldn't know if you saw him.
Mahalo. Yeah.
Mahalo. Well said, Stefania. That's Mahalo. Right.
That's amazing when you think about it. So your father.
Yeah.
And you are the same 70, age.
74 years old. My peer. I was going to go the other way. So your dad's 74.
Kid at 57 yeah, or which
I can't. So your dad, right? I can't believe your dad had you when you was 60.
Yeah, I know.
I mean,
right?
It's unbelievable. It's
yeah, right. Well, he's aged very gracefully. Still got all his hair.
I believe it.
Very little discoloration in his hair. So.
Notice he looked at me when he said he still has all his hair.
Yes, I didn't have a place to look beside you. So
should I? Yeah. I had this thought, and I've gone back and forth on this. Should I get plugs? No, seriously. Yeah. Should I get plugs or hair transplant or something like that? Like, I mean, not like cheesy ones, but like there are people that do it very high end. I've been approached over the years by, various doctors or firm,
Keeps.
And,
It keeps.
Yeah. I mean, sure. I mean, there's a zillion.
They sponsor the podcast.
Okay. Sure. My guess is yes. My guess is I could go to Keeps and say hey guys.
Yeah.
You know?
I think I'd go the other route, though, Matthew.
I'm trying to decide because it's obviously if I did it, I would have to. I mean, I'm not going to show up one day looking like Brian Urlacher and you're just wait, what? You know what I mean? Like, you can't do that. Like, you just got to own it. You just either got to be yep, this is what I'm doing.
You should just shave Daniel's beard and just, super glue it to your head.
Here's the thing. I don't think I would look good bald.
I think you would look good bald if you let a little bit of scruff grow out and you got a little bit of salt and pepper scruff with that bald. Yeah, that's a good look.
But here's the thing. That's what every bald guy has that, except for Van Pelt. Van Pelt's the only guy the only bald guy I'm aware of that has no facial hair. But pretty much every other bald guy basically does the Walter White.
Yeah.
Right? Either, has a goatee or a mustache or a beard or
there's
something.
There's a reason
like that.
Why Breaking Bad is Beth's favorite show, Matthew. So all I'm saying is just read into it a little bit,
Yeah,
read the room.
Say, take a sign once in a while, exactly. Will you? As SVP often take says, at some point, you just sort of reach that time and you have to make a decision.
Tim Hasselbeck has said to me more than once, he goes, listen, you got to fire it before it quits on you.
That's a good way of putting it. Let's talk about football, though.
Anyway,
let's talk about football. Happy birthday, Dad. Let's get into the Monday Night Football recap. And then coming up after the Monday Night Football recap, we'll do Double Trouble surrounding the Cardinals and also the Rams. We have the first of two episodes surrounding the NFC West. The Saints take care of business last night over the Jaguars. Whatever the score was, it felt less close than that, as the Saints starters / blend of starters was way better than the Jaguars blend of starters last night. There were a few injury updates that we're going to get to in just a few minutes, but let's just start with the lead, which I think is two-pronged. It's the quarterbacks in New Orleans and also the wide receiver who looked great last night. But let's start with the quarterbacks, Matthew. You and I had a pretty spirited conversation about a week ago. I think it's clear. At the time, you didn't feel like it was much of a competition. You thought it was Taysom Hill's job. It felt like last night was not a declaration that Jameis is going to be the starter, but certainly the strongest case we've seen from either quarterback yet that he should be the guy to begin the year.
Yeah, I mean, look. Jameis Winston was the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. Not the number one pick for the Buccaneers. The number one overall pick. Sure. And at the time that he was, there wasn't anyone going really? That guy? What do you... You know, I mean, there was no... he was... I don't want to say he was Trevor Lawrence. He definitely wasn't Trevor Lawrence. But, I mean, he was... My recollection of that draft was that it was basically assumed Jameis Winston was going one or two, and that most people felt that was the correct... That was correct.
Our friend Greg Rosenthal does an amazing job with Around the League at NFL.com. Mentioned last night on Twitter, where does Jameis rank on the scale, of the quarterbacks since Andrew Luck and prior to Trevor Lawrence? And it seems as though he was probably the third highest rated of all the quarterbacks that have gone in between. That's not to say that he has been the third best.
No.
But he was more well-regarded, I believe, than someone I would say Jared Goff coming out of Cal, yeah, and maybe even above a guy like Kyler Murray, there's some question marks. Baker Mayfield, there are some question marks, right, in 2018.
Carson Wentz, I know Wentz went two, but I mean, yeah, Wentz was discussed as maybe a one. Sure. Like, I mean, like, but so guys that, like, is, quarterbacks that went like in the top three picks, you know.
Not
like
a fluke by any stretch of him going where he did, number one overall. So take that point a step further.
So my point a step further is that, like, Jameis Winston has talent. Like, he has, by all, you know, like, obviously he has a very strong arm. By all accounts, has a very high football IQ. And, you know, like, the problem is with him is that there's a little bit too much YOLO to his game. You know, and turnovers have been an issue ever since Florida State. Like, that's always just been part of it. Like, he's a guy that is willing to, you know, throw into traffic and turn the ball over. You know, and in terms of when he was with Tampa Bay, you know, sometimes different coaching systems, and they also, you know, they had a bad defense. Sometimes maybe he had press a little bit. But my point is that if you knew for a fact that he was the guy, he becomes interesting in a Sean Payton offense. The problem, here's my challenge.
Totally agree.
The problem is that even if Sean Payton came out this morning and said, you know what, I've seen enough. Jameis Winston is my starter week one. The fact is that Taysom Hill's not going away. There will be packages for him at the goal line, certain schemes for him. Taysom Hill was a drain on Drew Brees' fantasy value the last 2 years. And that was Drew Brees. That was first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the best fantasy players of all time, Drew Brees. And so we like Jameis. I have famously been a Jameis supporter for many, many years. Jameis has made me look really, really good and really, really bad on this show. You know, there have been times when I've supported Jameis and he's just like, four picks. What are you going to do? But then there's Jameis over the years. I've always been a pro Jameis guy and he's always produced big fantasy numbers. So I guess my point is that I agree with your assessment that he took certainly the biggest step forward he has since he's joined the Saints to claiming that starting job last night. For fantasy purposes, I don't know that it matters at the quarterback position, because I'm not interested in him as a starter unless I'm in a super deep league.
Yeah, feel the exact same way. The mitigating factor is not only being the fact that you have Taysom Hill, who's going to have a role, even if he's not the starter. We'll talk about the pass catchers in a second. But, like, we're hyping up Marquez Callaway as the number one target in this passing offense, not named Alvin Kamara, and until Michael Thomas returns, in an offense that could be fairly run heavy behind a very good offensive line and a good defense. Like, I just don't know that the circumstances that would require or would be required for Jameis to become a top 12 quarterback are going to come into play in New Orleans this year.
I was just going to say, there's no rushing value. That's the problem, is that even, you know, it was a national game, and so there was a lot of eyes on Jameis, and he's a big name who's had a lot of fantasy success in his career, so I'm sure he's going to shoot up draft boards. But the issue here is that even if he's the starter, even if Taysom Hill's not involved, the fact is that it's very unlikely that drop back passers, unless you are Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, that just pure drop back passers are going to have enough fantasy value in today's NFL to be a top 14 fantasy quarterback, because so many guys that get you points with their arm and their legs. And so, I mean, you know, nice story. And, like, you would feel better if you have a Marquez Callaway or Adam Trautman. I know we're going to talk about his injury here in a second, but, like, if you had a piece of the Saints offense, you might feel like it's more explosive with Jameis under center. But for him specifically, other than if you're, like, in a deep best ball league or something like that, it's hard to see consistent fantasy value for him this year, especially in a one quarterback league.
The biggest takeaway from Jameis maybe being the starting quarterback, or at least looking like he has a chance to be the starting quarterback, is what it means for everybody else, because they're a decidedly more efficient passing game when he is the quarterback than they are with Taysom Hill. So let's talk about Marquez Callaway.
Yeah, real quick gut reaction, name game. You don't have to play the drop, Daniel. Marquez Callaway or Davante Adams at this point for
PPR
you?
PPR or no?
Yeah, it's PPR, full PPR.
Callaway.
I mean, right? You know, like, right. Callaway or Devontae or Tyreek Hill?
Callaway.
Yeah. Callaway or DeAndre Hopkins?
Serious question. Are you moving him inside your top 50?
I think you have to at this point.
Are you moving him inside your top 40?
I've got him at 46.
Probably not.
Yeah. I mean,
here's the thing. Like, here's what I will tell you. yesterday, I moved Corey Davis to wide receiver 39. Hard for me to get him over. You know what I mean? Like, I think Corey Davis has a more consistent role and more volume. More volume on a bad team, right? With a worse quarterback. I mean, all due respect to Zach Wilson, we think he's not going to be as good as either Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston this year.
I'm not so sure.
He might be. I mean, we'll see. Volume will mask a lot of that. But yeah, it is hard for me to put Callaway. Listen, and he made some
it was amazing.
SportsCenter top 10 plays last night, no question, right? Nice little player, but hard for me to get him above what Corey Davis, who I currently have wide receiver 39. Yeah. So he is in the 40 to 50 range for me.
That's fair.
You know, and so, yeah, you know, like, should we drafted deep, late? Sure. But, are we, right?
It's an amazing story. It really, it's a great testament to development. Happy for him. And if nothing else, he's introduced himself to the fantasy radar, and we'll see just how much he makes an impact consistently. But he's on the radar for now. Let's go to the Jaguars, and we got a few injuries on both sides of the ball, actually. But let's start in Jacksonville, Stefania.
Yes, because professional golfer, Stefania Bell.
All right, we're talking about that before the show. But Stefania, the big one is that Travis
Etienne. What's your handicap, by the way, Stefania?
I don't have a handicap. I'm not that good.
Yeah. Because it's interesting because I have every handicap on the golf course, I should say. All right, no, real talk. Stefania, Stefania Bell, a lot of injuries with the Jaguars last night. What's the latest? And we'll start with Travis Etienne.
That's obviously the one that fantasy managers care the most about. Travis Etienne hurt his foot, and that's all we heard initially during the game, but he was spotted in a walking boot after the game. Adam Schefter reporting that he has a midfoot sprain and is sidelined indefinitely, expected to undergo further testing. I followed Adam's tweet by saying a lot will depend on whether it's deemed a stable or an unstable injury. There's a lot of nuance to midfoot sprains, so people should not immediately try and classify a timeline. It really depends on the degree of injury. If it's unstable and needs to be fixed surgically, then that creates obviously a longer window. So more information to come as he undergoes further evaluation, but I would plan on him not being available for multiple weeks, at least as of this point.
So Stefania, let me just understand that there's a lot that it's a developing story. And I know you, a lot of armchair doctors like to sit there and go like, oh, it's definitely 2 weeks or it's 4 weeks or it's this or this or this. And I know you always like to take a very measured approach until you have the information, because not all injuries are created equal. But let me ask you, give me a worst case and a best case. Like, can you give me a range that, like, to your point, if it's stable or if it's unstable, give me a range. You just said Travis Etienne is going to be out multiple weeks, but can you give me a range?
So, you know, the thing about midfoot injuries, I'll just give you an example of, is sometimes you think it's not that bad and a player will come back soon. And the person I point to is Joe Mixon from last year, because we kept hearing, it was week to week, but like, you'd see him doing work on the side. You'd think there was a chance he was coming back to practice, and then it would be delayed. So even if we say, look, on the short end, if you're thinking 2 to 4 weeks, if it's very mild and it's stable, but if it's something that is not, even if it is stable, but he continues to have pain or it changes over time, sometimes it appears stable and then you decide later it's unstable. That was sort of a situation with Cam Newton. It really is such a wide range that it serves no purpose to really create a timeline.
Then one last follow-up and we'll move on, because we've got other injuries to deal with and we got double trouble to get to. But just question, in a standard ESPN 10-team league, is Travis Etienne draftable at this moment?
I think so, but you're taking a chance. Like, because what if it turns out that he's available late September?
Yeah, I think he's got to be drafted.
But it would be at the back end of your draft. It would be as a flyer, as a hopeful. But I wouldn't invest a lot of draft capital right now if I was drafting today. I certainly think we're going to have more information in the next couple of days, too.
I mean, I will tell you.
Before weekend drafts.
I will tell you. So for anyone watching, you see it says there that I had him at running back 26. That's prior to last night. So the graphics were built the night before. I actually, this morning, moved him pretty far down. Like, I moved him past, like, A.J. Dillon and Trey Sermon, the guys that my sleeper guys, you know, some of my sleeper running backs. Like, I have him below that. And I moved James Robinson up to running back 21, just ahead of J.K. Dobbins, between Miles Gaskin and J.K. Dobbins for me. I'm worried about Gus Edwards with J.K. Dobbins. I think there is a chance that, no pun intended, James Robinson takes this job and runs with it. We were already seeing him getting a lot more first-team run than we expected, and now that Etienne is going to be sidelined for at least some of this, James Robinson, good running back. I mean, like, obviously produced very well last year, and so there is a chance that Etienne comes back at some point, obviously, and takes some of that work away, but at least initially, I think James Robinson is very much now on the flex radar, low-end RB2 radar, and Etienne, I think, to Stefania's point, is a high upside but high risk flyer.
And to that point, I had Robinson already at 21 before last night's injury, so I've been a little bit more bullish on James Robinson, in part because if you follow the Jaguars during training camp or have watched them in their first preseason game prior to last night, it was pretty clear that Robinson was going to get the work with the, I always say, nominal starters, because A, you've got guys that they're sitting out because of injury, B, they're trying some different things. It is the preseason after all, but it seems like James Robinson is too good to not have a role. But I think ETN is unquestionably still a player that should be drafted in all leagues, 10 teams, or large, I mean, any size, because 22nd overall pick in the draft, or 23rd, whatever it was, the guy is an absolutely unbelievable talent. It's just a matter of the Jaguars figuring out how to best utilize him when he's back, and that'll take
some
time.
5 hours from now, Adam Schefter tweets, it's a unstable injury. Expected timeline, he's out 8 weeks. Still drafting him?
100%.
Wow, really?
100%. Okay. He missed the first 5 weeks of the season? Yeah. Could have a guy back for the last 12 weeks, 13 weeks. That'd be
who is part of a three-headed committee on a bad team.
Who's the second overall
unbelievable
running
talent.
Back drafted
neither,
this year.
Yes, neither of us.
100%.
Okay.
100%. Wow. If you draft a player 23rd overall and you don't utilize him, then that's just organizational malpractice. All right, no, one more, Stefania. I mean, two more, actually. Let's get to...
We're talking about the Jaguars here, and I love the Jaguars, you know what I mean? Like, and I've got friends on that in that front office, but... It's not a organization that has always made decisions that...
It's a new day.
It is a new day.
They have a week 7 bye, just as a part of that.
I'm okay with it. Stefania, just two more quick updates. One, Marvin Jones, and then two, Adam Trautman for the Saints, who did leave the game as well.
Yeah, the Marvin Jones one is just more of an observation thing. He looked to be favoring his shoulder. He waved out of the game after he landed hard. I think Marvin Jones is just keep an eye out to see if there's information to update with him later in the week. But Adam Trautman, we saw him get carted off, as you mentioned, and initially it was described as an ankle/leg injury, but Adam Schefter tweeting last night, it's actually his foot. The x-rays were negative. He's undergoing further testing today, an MRI expected today. So hopefully we'll learn more about that. Still having pain as of last night. Again, we can't really speculate on a timeline because don't know exactly what we're dealing with, but it looked to be something that was fairly significant given the fact that they had to help him off the field.
Yeah, I was never really as much of a Trautman guy as some during the offseason. Matthew, is that you raised your hand? You were? Okay. And also,
100%, yeah.
I just, third round pick, good player, not a supreme athlete, I didn't think, relative to some of the other tight ends that have a lot of upside. And then also, as we know, during training camp, they've gotten a lot out of Juwan Johnson, another player, an undrafted player out of Oregon just a year ago, who, again, local reporters have noted has been exceptional throughout the preseason. He was taking some of the third down work from Trautman earlier in preseason, and before the injury last night was a factor as well. So I think he's a fine player to pass on in redraft leagues.
At this point, certainly until we know more about the injury, he was a late round flyer at tight end. I liked him. I like him more as a player than you do as well, and I also just really like the role. This is an offense that I think, you know, Thirsty Kyle, correct me if I get this stat wrong, but off the top of my head, I think since 2019, Saints are top three in the NFL in terms of tight end touchdowns. That is an offense that looks towards the tight end when they get in the end zone. It's not just Jimmy Graham. I mean, Jared Cook has had an up and down fantasy career, but certainly found a lot of relevance in New Orleans, even though he's at the later stages of his career.
All right, time now for us to get to Double Trouble. But first, do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Do you want to get in shape, but you're having trouble staying motivated?
Yes, so badly.
Why not make 5-hour energy shots part of your lifestyle and get the energy boost you need to finally get fit? We all know sometimes that you don't want to go to the gym. We'll take a 5-hour energy shot to give you the feeling and alertness that you need so you can get there. with zero sugar and a convenient portable size, it's the perfect pick-me-up for getting stuff done. The 5-Hour Energy website has flavors galore like watermelon, tropical burst, cherry, and peach mango, and a bunch more. There's flavors literally for everyone. Try them all. And on the site, you even have this cool option to build your own 12 or 24-pack. You choose the flavors, and it's delivered right to your door. If you go to 5hourenergy.com, that's the number 5hourenergy.com, and get some 5-Hour Energy product today, you can use the promo code FFF to receive 10% off your order. This offer is only valid until September 30th on one order and cannot be used with other promotions. The code is not good on subscription orders. That's the promo code FFF to receive 10% off your order. Go to 5hourenergy.com today.
Time now for some Double Trouble.
Double Trouble.
Double, double.
Trouble, trouble.
Double Trouble.
Double, double.
Trouble, trouble.
Double Trouble.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
As mentioned, we begin the NFC West today. We'll do the Rams and also the Cardinals, which is where we kick things off. And if you're talking Arizona, you are talking Kyler Murray this year, who last season, 26 touchdown passes, 11 rushing touchdowns, nearly 4,000 passing yards, and over 800 rushing yards. Matthew, as we discuss quarterbacks that are comfortably inside the top five, Kyler Murray is one of those players who, I'm not saying it's going to be a guarantee that it's perfect, but it's hard for me to see Kyler Murray failing in fantasy this year.
1,000% agree. Look, I'm at QB4, you're at QB3. Honestly, if you want to take him anywhere after Patrick Mahomes, I got no issue with it. Like, totally. I have it, Josh Allen, Dak Prescott, Kyler Murray. But if you wanted Kyler Murray over either of those two guys, I'm not looking at you weird. I'm not going like, really? Like, Kyler Murray's a fantasy superstar. I don't know that there's much that needs to be discussed here. It's a fantasy-friendly offense. He is somebody
second best runner behind Lamar Jackson at the position.
Right. Absolutely. Obviously has elite talent in DeAndre Hopkins. We're excited about how they're using Rondale Moore. Maybe Christian Kirk can finally pop. We've seen flashes from him over the years, but it is a fantasy-friendly offense that likes to throw, and they certainly utilize his legs as well. As
you see
it on if you're watching at home, you see it here on your screen. Just 11 games with 20 or more fantasy points. It was tied for second most among quarterbacks. Like, he had 11 different rushing touchdowns, right? 9 different games with a rushing and a passing touchdown, which led all quarterbacks. So, I mean, look. I don't think there's a knock to Kyler Murray's game. Like, when you get it to this level, you have to nitpick. The reason I had Dak Prescott ahead of Kyler Murray is just, do the rushing touchdowns with the addition of James Conner, do they come down? Instead of 9, does he get 6 this year or something like that? Again, you have to nitpick, right? And Dak, you know, I think Dak could throw for close to 6,000 yards with the extra game this year.
Yeah.
So, that's all.
Okay, nitpick. I have a QB3. Feel great about him. Never missed a game in his 2 seasons. Has a lot to prove going into his 3rd season. They need to make the playoffs, and he is eligible for an extension after this year. Another big season ahead for Kyler Murray.
Yeah,
let's talk about
superstar.
The running backs, though, because the running backs are interesting. Chase Edmonds, who, I just got to tell you something right now. I know that the NFL implemented the new jersey number rules this year, and a lot of players look really cool. Chase Edmonds might look cooler with his new uniform number 2, than any other player who also changed numbers this offseason. I love the number 2 on Chase Edmonds, apropos of absolutely nothing. But let's talk about his fantasy value. Right. I think that's people
fair
actually
enough.
Care about.
Yep.
We think there's a chance he is going to be the lead running back in this backfield this year. That being said, for a guy that's a really, really good pass catcher,
yes,
who could be the number 1 rusher on his team as well, the fact that he's at RB24 in my rankings and yours and RB23 for Daniels tells you there are some limiting factors here for Chase Edmonds. So what's the outlook for you? More optimistic or a little bit reserved?
I am concerned, and what's unfair is that none of my concerns have to do with Chase Edmonds. You know, all last year, we were screaming, free Chase Edmonds, hashtag free Chase Edmonds, because for whatever reason, Cliff Kingsbury sort of had him in this role and wouldn't expand. Like, the few times where he's gotten a decent amount of run, he's actually been pretty good. He had 10 games last year with 8 or more touches in 2020, averaged 13.2 fantasy points per game in those 10 games. I mean, 8 touches ain't that much, 8 or more touches. And would have been running back 22. So you sort of like, you know, can you get him to like even 15 touches a game? But they just don't seem to want to commit to that.
When he has got 5'8",
right,
small guy,
exactly. When he has gotten work, he's produced among running backs that have at least 100 touches. He is 5th in fantasy points per touch. But this is one of the weirdest stats from last year. Here's a weird stat from last year.
Okay,
Kenyon Drake was tied for the NFL lead in goal to go rushes.
Yeah.
Meaning they got in, like, they got in close a lot, and they would go to Kenyon. Now, Kenyon Drake did not have a good fantasy year last year, despite the fact that he got a lot of attempts at the goal line. And so as a player, we're just talking evaluating players, I prefer Chase Edmonds to James Conner. But if we're talking fantasy, considering cost and considering their current ADP, because Chase Edmonds is going running back 22, like in the seventh round, he's going ahead of guys like Kareem Hunt. James Conner is going as running back 37. Like, he's going in the 14th round, seven-round difference between Chase Edmonds and James Conner, and I think this is a full-blown committee. I think this is right down the middle, similar to Kenyon Drake and Chase Edmonds last year. And so you're telling me I can get James Conner for a seven-round discount? I much prefer Conner at cost to James Edmonds, and I understand he has had a lot of injury issues in his, and that's baked into his ADP, but I don't think you want both Cardinals running backs, because I don't think one is insurance for the other. I think both guys get half the work. I'd much rather James Conner.
I think part of what happens, and this, I mean, this is not new, is that, like, recency bias is a huge part of fantasy football analysis, right? And it feels like last year was this just unmitigated disaster season for James Conner.
Correct.
The first 8 weeks of last season, James Conner had 15.8 fantasy points per game.
Yeah.
It's on over 18 touches per game. Now, the volume is probably not as likely to happen in Arizona with Chase Edmonds being a factor, but still a talented player, still a relatively young player. He got zero interest in free agency, basically, other than Arizona. Took a very small deal. It's and a big season for him.
It's a one-year prove-it deal, right?
It is the prove-it of all prove-it deals this offseason amongst running backs. So this is Leonard Fournette from last year, basically, in my opinion.
And then you think about, again, look at the Arizona offense. Last year in 2020, fourth highest red zone rush rate, eighth highest rush rate in goal-to-go situations. I just gave you the stat on Kenyon Drake, who, as a person, as a player, was tied for the league lead in goal-to-go rushing attempts. Look, James Conner's a decent pass catcher. Right? Like, I don't know that he's as good as Chase Edmonds, but he's not somebody that needs to come off the field on third down.
Yep.
He is definitely not somebody that needs to come down on third down. And when you think about how often the Cardinals go hurry up or, you know, kind of go into a 2-minute offense, like go no huddle, like you could certainly see drives where James Conner is, I don't know how they're going to do it, whether they're going to just kind of switch off series or if they're going to have certain packages for either guy. But I really like Chase Edmonds as a player, but I think the ADP on Edmonds is too high. And I think the hate on James Conner has gone way too far, which is why when I did my love-hate, James Conner, who was a love for me, because I think he is being massively undervalued by drafters this year, to your point, maybe frustrations from last year and a season in Pittsburgh that did not go the way people hoped.
I think part of it, too, and this is, like, take this for what it's worth, is, like, in New York and New England by Boston and Philadelphia, we've got coverage from like 25 different outlets every single day. So you hear a lot about these players,
sure,
right?
Sure.
Like by this point of the season, I feel like I know like Zach Wilson's five favorite taco joints in New York, right?
Know three. Do you know that? Can you name the other two?
I know three as well. But right. To that, you know, yeah. Like in Arizona, it's just a smaller market with fewer outlets day to day that I haven't heard that much about James Conner during the preseason, right? Not like, by the way, Phoenix is not a tiny market. It's an amazing place. I love Phoenix. One of my favorite places to visit. And Cardinals fans are tremendous. It's just, there are just few. I think you like go to the cameras every single day. They feel like there are fewer in Arizona than there are in New York. And along those lines, I haven't heard much about James Conner this preseason.
Just one of the things, he was out for almost a week because he was COVID on the reserve COVID-19 list. He's coming off a toe surgery that he had in the offseason, which I think is fully resolved. He had that before he signed with the Cardinals.
Yep.
He actually said it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't a whole turf toe injury. So the fact that he got it fixed and addressed it, I think is good. But I think there's just always been that lingering concern. He hasn't played all 16 games in a full season. So I think he carries that with him wherever he goes.
I would point out
Chase Edmonds has had his own injury issues as well. And part of when Kenyon Drake came in, Chase Edmonds had a hamstring issue, and that's what elevated Kenyon Drake. So I don't believe that, and I said this long before they signed James Conner, when there was talk like, oh yeah, and I think Cliff Kingsbury was saying Chase Edmonds could handle the role. I thought, I don't buy that you would really lean on him as an every down back, sort of the Daryl Henderson thing. I felt like they needed two guys, and this may be their solution.
Yeah, two questions here. One is,
three.
Do you...
I have one after you.
Okay, two questions. Two questions for me, one from Field. And then we'll let you, Daniel, if Daniel's got a puzzler. All right, but let's start with this. You know, we always talk about this player is injury prone. This player is just unlucky. Where on that scale would you rate James Conner, Stefania? Because you bring up a great point, which is that's one of the concerns on James Conner is that he has struggled to stay on the field. He has never played, as you said, a full season in the NFL.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, it's the position that he plays. Look, I always say running back is the most vulnerable position because the goal is to hit them and hit them hard when they have the ball all the time. They're looking for physical contact. James Conner is one of those players. Remember 2 years ago when he had the shoulder issue, part of the challenge was he leads with his shoulder, as a lot of running backs do, but he really was diving forward on that AC injury, and it just was problematic for him. So, you know, it's not necessarily like one injury has led to the next, to the next, to the next. They've been all over the place. I just really don't like the injury-prone tag. It's hard to apply that to someone.
There's like three guys that I actually
label.
Buy that on, yeah, right? Like, right. I think Will Fuller is injury-prone. Alshon was injury-prone or is
and
still.
And it's usually
other than that,
the
really
soft tissue ones, right, yeah. Field? That's what we talk about. Like, when you see somebody who's got these repeat soft tissue injuries like Will Fuller, yeah.
All right, go ahead. No, you go ahead. What's your second question?
No, mine's question? Not that important, so you ask yours.
Mine's more of a statement than a question, so you
okay.
Should go.
Stefania, do we know if James Conner still has a rat tail?
Oh, I do not.
Okay. Because that could
right.
Impact my fantasy
Josh
value.
Yeah, we need to
Let's
get
ask
some.
Josh to get to the yeah. Bottom of that for us.
We should
that feels
absolutely.
Important.
That feels important. Here's another thing that I think feels important, perhaps even slightly more important. Chase Edmonds, in his career, has two games with more than 14 touches in a game.
Dude, we had this conversation
had
last year in the podcast.
He had only three goal to go carries last season. He has yet to have 100 carries or even 500 rushing yards in a season. And so doesn't mean that it's not possible. Doesn't mean that an expanded role, but I'm just,
you
I will say
tell
that in the,
last
pre,
year,
in the
he was
pre-draft
take the
process
job over from Kenyon Drake. Remember?
I know this is true. I wanted him like, and they should have, by the way, Kenyon Drake was bad for them last year. I tried to warn you guys on Kenyon Drake. You didn't listen to me on Kenyon Drake. Served you guys right. But anyway, what I would tell you is that, in terms of fantasy football value here with Chase Edmonds, it seems like we are granting him a role that I don't think there's nothing to suggest that he's going to get this.
Totally agree. I think we are 100% lockstep on that. I just think that the likelihood of him having 250 carries and 50 catches this year feels extremely low to me. Extremely low, which other running backs that are going around him have a legitimate shot to get there. James Robinson being one of those names that comes to mind.
Kareem Hunt is going to get the same workload as Chase Edmonds, if not bigger. And he has the upside of, if something were to happen to Nick Chubb, he's a top 10 fantasy running back.
So, yep.
If something happens to James Conner, Chase Edmonds is not suddenly a top 10 fantasy running back. He's just...
Agreed.
Anyway, maybe Chase Edmonds touched the ball a little bit more than Kareem Hunt. I like Kareem Hunt as a NFL fantasy player. I want to be clear about that. Yeah, but just as a... Yeah, so anyway...
Let's
whatever.
Talk
James
DeAndre
Conner. James Conner is a massive, massive, massive value in fantasy drafts.
Let's talk DeAndre Hopkins for a second, and I want to apologize because Matthew and I wasted about, I don't know, 7 minutes of your life last year during the podcast when we debated whether or not Tyreek Hill or DeAndre Hopkins would be a better wide receiver in fantasy. The answer was yes. Both of them are tremendous. And you know what the answer
awesome.
Is this year? That DeAndre Hopkins will be tremendous. Last year, he had only 115 catches, only 1,407 yards, and 6 receiving touchdowns. This,
including one of the best catches of the last decade.
Amazing. So everything we said about Kyler Murray, yeah, same thing here, right? Like, he's DeAndre freaking Hopkins. He's going to have somewhere between 10 and 12 targets minimum per game. He's probably going to have 7 to 9 catches per game. He's probably going to have 1,300 plus yards easily, and he could score 12 touchdowns this year.
95 receptions, 1,100 yards in 4 straight seasons. Both those numbers, you saw it there on your screen if you're watching at home, like, he's money in the bank.
He is money in the bank. Let's talk about the other Cardinals pass catchers, Matthew. And rather than going through each of them individually, because the names in mind are Rondell Moore and A.J. Green and also Christian Kirk, is there any of those three that you think merits redraft consideration more for those, I'm sure many know, but for those that haven't heard much about him? He is their second-round pick out of Purdue. He was a freshman phenom in Purdue. He continued to have an excellent career. He only played 3 games last year, obviously a shortened season in many college football conferences. He's electric, Matthew. He's pint-sized. Any of those guys pique your interest. And then, Daniel, what do you got?
Oh, can I just weigh in really quickly before Matthew?
Sure.
I just wanted to ask, you said he's pint-sized. His frame is something that I just wanted to bring up as a part of this because he's like, he's 5'7", right?
Yeah, 5'8"? He's a little guy. He's like, Kyler Murray is like a giant compared to him.
Yeah, so he's just not like a big wide receiver as a part of that, you know, when you're talking about from that standpoint.
So he's you said he's 5'7", 5'8"?
Yeah.
And he weighs how much, do you think?
Probably like 180. He's thick. He's built.
Right.
Yeah.
How tall are you?
Yeah, 5'11".
Stop it.
I am.
Stop it.
5'10 and a half. You round up 5'11".
You told me you're 6'2".
You are not even close to that.
What do you think I am?
I think you're like 5'7", 5'8".
No, he's definitely. He's probably 5'11".
I'm 5'10 and a half, which is the 5'11".
I'm 5'10 and three quarters, and I can vouch for Fields 5'10 and a half because I'm a quarter inch taller than he is.
Do you not know what a 5'7 person looks like?
Yeah, I think it looks like you. Maybe
stop.
I'm wrong.
Stop it.
Because I think I'm 6 foot, and I don't think I'm only an inch taller than you.
Wow. I mean, like, I think...
Can you kids just stand up and go back
to
that?
No, they're not allowed to.
Unfortunately. We're not allowed to. Oh, that's right. Just trust me.
Thanks, medical expert. Appreciate that.
Hey, no big deal. You guys go breathe on each other, too?
They were going to face away from each other. That was my plan, that they would look the other way.
Here's a sharp stick. Why don't you go poke each other for me real quick?
I mean, we could stand up, I suppose, by our chairs, and like they could get a...
No, it's okay. Rondell Moore is 5'7", 181 pounds, so says the internet, so it must be true.
Right, yes. Wow, you really think I'm 5'7"? You have
5'8" I was just gonna. Where I was going to is like you were calling him pint size, and I sort of feel like you're pint size ish.
That means he wants to put you. That means he wants to put you in your pocket, put you in his pocket, and take you home, and it's a compliment.
Because I love him.
I mean, I'll take that.
I'm clearly not.
No one's ever told me I'm pint size. I'll take. So I appreciate that very much.
Yeah, I don't. Okay, interesting. Yeah, I just feel like I'm a couple inches taller than you, and I know I'm 6 foot. Okay. So I don't think I'm only 2 inches taller than you, or 1.5 inches taller than you.
Do you have one of these wide receivers that you like 1.5 times more than any other ones?
I'm trying to get us back on track. All right, fine. Sorry, did I insult you? I feel bad now.
Well, I just think you have no perspective on someone who's 5'7" or 5'8" looks like.
Maybe.
Like Schefter's like 5'9".
Schefter is not 5'9".
Okay, how tall? You think he's like 5'2" then? If what you
I think he's 5'2". I would have said he's.
What
whatever.
Do you think he is?
I'm going to start. You know what? Everyone's tall. Everyone's 6'3".
There you go.
Everyone on campus is 6'3".
I love it.
Every single person is.
Like you realize if you're 6 foot and you think I'm 5'7", like just look at, even if you just like look at the camera here, for anybody who's watching the live stream, like and just take the two shot of us.
Well,
you
I'm
think
like
you're
slouching.
Five. So am I. You think you're 5 inches larger than I am. You really think that?
I don't know that I'm 5 inches large. Maybe I'm closer to 6'1".
What would 6 feet and 5'7" be? What would be the difference there? 6 feet to 5'7". How
your
many
forehead makes you look taller, Matthew, because the skin goes up.
I mean,
I got
a 5 head here, so I got like I got a lot of space going on.
Wow, this is really.
I can't believe this is really great. We were just about to talk about football. Let's go back to talking about football. Please, everyone wants to talk about football.
Goodness.
So, Rondell Moore. For those listening at home, we're laughing because the graphics team literally put up a graphic with a picture of Field Yates who says might be 5'7 or 5'11 debatable.
My license says 5'11, so
that's
I hope
it?
I yes, because okay. I'm 5'11.
But amazing. You put it, you just write it down yourself. Like they don't check you at the DMV.
No one pulls out a tape measure
saying like
you think it'd be a little
I
odd.
I got to side with Matthew on that. Just tell him.
I've got my physical coming up soon. I'll make sure I check in there. Give you the exact answer.
I seriously want to. You know what we'll do? We'll make a little mark. We'll draw like the kids. We'll put a little. I'll be in charge.
No, stop. Yes, these are all great ideas, but please, it is 11:40. We still have a whole other team to talk about.
Oh, geez. Okay.
I didn't start
very quickly. The only player that's semi-interesting to me is Rondell Moore, just because of the talent and because it appears that at least through a couple of games here, they're manufacturing touches from. They are trying to find different ways to get him the ball. Cardinals use a lot of four wide receiver sets. All those guys are on the playing field, but the concern here is that I just don't know what A.J. Green has left. They're certainly going to get some touches to Rondell Moore. Christian Kirk has flashed. He's also somebody that has struggled to stay healthy. So my guess is that is a talented group of wide receivers that will make Kyler Murray and the Cardinals better. Hard to see consistent fantasy value from any of them, and feels like the only one that maybe could have some deep league value is Rondell Moore, just because again they're fine, he's going to do some sweeps and they're going to do a lot of bubble screens with him and just try to get him. They're trying to get him the ball.
Yeah, he's the most electric. He's fun. The big question would just be, as you sort of noted, like how much do they get in the ball? Like, it all sounds good in practice. It also is one of those, like, we need to see it to believe it. I will say this. I mentioned there hasn't been necessarily a ton of buzz about James Conner. There has been some suggestion that A.J. Green looks like a new man and a sort of rediscovered form. Stefania, any question marks for him as regards in regards to his health?
No, I think this is actually – this is really going to be a chance to see how he bounced back. I didn't think he got that opportunity in Cincinnati. It was rough after he dealt with the ankle and then the toe. I think this is a good placement for him, and him being opposite DeAndre Hopkins could open things up for him. I actually think you can get a great late-round flyer on A.J. Green that could prove really valuable for you.
Okay, interesting. Late-round flyer for A.J. Green. Imagine saying that just a few years ago. A.J. Green is a late-round flyer. All right, no tight ends of note there in Arizona. They do have Matt Prater as their kicker. Former Lions great. Miss you, Matt. We're talking about the Rams in just a second. But first, did you know that Tony Romo is 6'7" and a motivational speaker now? All this football season, Tony and Karoma are remotivating football fans to live the game day good life. Let Tony unlock your football fan potential at remotivation.com. There you can launch an augmented reality experience that will put Tony in your living room or at the bar next to you while you watch the game. It's true, you can be better at watching football. Let Romo and Corona show you how to live the game day good life. Visit RomoMotivation.com now. Please drink responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Fantasy football season is right around the corner, and that means more of what you love. The teams, the rivalries, the stats, and trash-talking your friends. And your favorite stars, like 6'3" Kyler Murray, or 6'8" Christian McCaffrey, 6'9" CeeDee Lamb, or 7'12" Baker Mayfield, they all rely on Body Armor to get them to the next level and perform at their best, which gives you the trash talking points you need. And hey, this fall is a great time to up your game. Body Armor has got you covered. Everybody is focused on staying active and healthy, and hydration is a huge part of that. It's more than just a sports drink. It's made with potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants, and there are no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. Now through December 31st, buy any one Body Armor product, upload your receipt to www.bafootballtailgate.com. That's www.bafootballtailgate.com. And you'll be entered for a chance to win one of hundreds of amazing prizes for your next tailgate. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Open to residents of U.S. 18 and older.
Time now for a blind resume for you. And Blind Resume is brought to you by Hotwire. Book an expensive hotel for cheap on Hotwire. Download the Hotwire app to book beyond your wildest means. All bookings are final. All right, so since 2019, wide receiver one has 6 catches on 8.3 targets per game, 68.9 yards per game, and 0.4 touchdown catches per game. Wide receiver two has 4.4 catches per game, 7.2 targets per game, 68.8 yards per game, and 0.5 touchdown catches per game. The third wide receiver is Robert Woods, who has 5.8 catches on 8.6 targets and 66.8 yards, 0.3 touchdown catches per game. The point being, he compares favorably in terms of yards and catches, and I guess I suppose those tight ends as well, to the two wide receivers we do not know. So if we can potentially throw the blind resume graph up in just a minute, we're going to get it.
We are getting
Get there. Matthew's going to be checking his phone.
Yep.
He's downloading Hotwire app right now so we can book beyond his wildest means. Right, Matthew Berry?
Sure.
You're downloading the Hotwire app?
Yes, you are.
Are you booking beyond your wildest means? Wait, dreams? No, wait, means. You've got a lot of means. Your wildest means?
I'm trying to book a flight to the land of tall people and see what that looks like.
Wow.
See what it looks like. I cannot wait. I cannot tell you what I just got a text from somebody, and I cannot wait to tell you guys as soon as we get off the air what it is. Because if I say it on the air, it's going to get...
Sure.
It will get me in trouble.
We are getting there real quick, though, with the blind resume. Throwing it up on the screen.
Robert Woods. You take a look at this, and I gave you some other numbers that are similar to this. How about this, though? Robert Woods' target share is way up compared to wide receiver one and wide receiver two, who are both Dallas Cowboys wide receivers. We will reveal them. I'm going to go with Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb, and okay, never mind. They're not Cowboys wide receivers. I don't know who they are, so I have no idea who those people are. I'm going to guess Rondale Moore.
He didn't even play in the NFL last year.
I think one of them has to be Marvin Jones. I think if I was thinking of the way that Kyle puts these together, I think he would compare a new Matthew Stafford wide receiver to an old Matthew Stafford wide receiver.
So that's smart.
That's the problem with these trivia.
You have to start getting into the mind of Kyle.
And that's tough. So I think Marvin Jones is one of them. Maybe Kenny Galladay's the other one.
Now then you're thinking about like cheese and bowling. And
let's throw it up there. Anyway, let's see what we got.
So one of them's Galladay. I'm going to guess.
Cooper Kupp and DK Metcalf.
And I was wrong.
And DK Metcalf. Nice job.
That's per game since 2019, of course, when DK entered the league. All right. So that leads us right into the Rams, and we'll actually start. I skipped over Matthew Stafford before the blind resume. My bad on that. Let's go back to Matthew Stafford, and we'll talk about the new Rams quarterback who last year was quarterback 21 on a points per game basis. He finished with over 4,000 passing yards. He also got hurt last year, but that's no concern going into this season. He's quarterback 12 on your board and my board, quarterback 13 on Daniel's board. Matthew, the question with Matthew Stafford is that as we talk more and more about the impact of rushing quarterbacks in fantasy, this is not a bad athlete by any stretch. He's also not an elite runner. Should this be a target for people as a starter coming out of their drafts?
No. I think there is, I don't. If you wind up in a draft 12 team or deeper, and Matthew Stafford's your starting quarterback, I think you're going to be fine.
Yep, I agree.
Because I think he has a very good fantasy year. I think the problem is that having a good quarterback this year is the new mediocre. Because, like, again, he doesn't give you anything with your legs. It's the same issue we talked about with Jameis Winston at the top of the show. Like, and Stafford is in a much better situation than Winston. He's not going to have, you know, he's not going to have to split time with a Taysom Hill. I think he's got better weapons around him. He's got a great offensive mind in Sean McVay, with no disrespect to Sean Payton, also a great coach. But so Stafford is somebody who I think has a very nice fantasy. The problem is he just doesn't give you anything with his legs. But look, when he throws, he's productive, right? Since the start of 2019, he is ninth. He is top 10 in the NFL. He is ninth in fantasy points per pass attempt. He is 11th in touchdown rate. When he throws, he is productive. And I think that this is, you know, as good. This is the best situation he's ever been in. Like, there have been times when he's had as much talent as he's going to have in L.A. I don't know that he's ever had as much talent and the offensive scheme that he's going to have in with Sean McVay. Look, Jared Goff, there were definitely times where Jared Goff was fantasy viable. That's Jared Goff. With all due respect to him, he ain't Matthew Stafford, not at this point in their careers. So, look, I have Matthew Stafford as QB. I'm at QB 12. That's his ADP, QB 12. So he's like a borderline QB 1 in a 12-team or deeper league.
Sorry, Phil.
No, you go, Daniel.
Really quickly, I love this last stat that's on the field. Red zone drives per game in 2019 and 2020. You look at what the Rams did. They were fifth.
Right.
In red zone drives per game. The Lions were 26th. Matthew Stafford simply didn't have the ability to be able to get down there with that Lions team last year. I think that's going to change a lot. So like you're saying, I'm with you guys. I just think that's really interesting when you look at how he's just going to have more options and better chances to score.
More scoring opportunities for Matthew Stafford in LA. Now let's talk about Darrell Henderson, who, Stefania, another injury update on Henderson, who the Rams this preseason had already said not going to play him in preseason games, kind of rest up that ankle, make sure it's all good, missed time last year due to it, and now he's dealing with something else. What can you tell
right.
us?
Right, not the ankle. Now it's a thumb, and they're calling it a mild thumb sprain. They've already said they expect him to be available for week one, but I think this just adds to the notion that Darrell Henderson is cause for concern as a three down back. He's had injury issues going forward. There's no question on the talent, the speed, the acceleration. But I want to take you back to last year when he had a quad injury in week 8. They had the bye the following week. And if you look at his rushing stats after that, this is when Cam Akers started to really take over. But in week 11, 8 attempts for 5 yards. In week 12, 10 attempts for 19, 3 for 49 the next week, 2 for 5, then 1 for minus 2. He struggled at the end of the year, even as he was getting back from that. And then he had an ankle injury, which cost him the final few games of the season. I think they love Darrell Henderson, the talent. I don't think they have thought ever that they could really rely on him for three downs, even though Sean McVay hinted at that he could be a three down back. He still expressed concern about him actually being able to do that across the season.
And I feel like an injury that happens now, even if it's not going to cost him any time in the regular season to begin the year, only reaffirms the Rams' senses that, hey, maybe we do need to either have a plan for Darrell Henderson or acquire somebody else who could help us be more of a workhorse back. Mind you, this is the team that a few years ago picked up C.J. Anderson off the scrap heaps and turned him into a 100-yard per game rusher. So This system has certainly made lesser known or later stage running backs in their career very productive. So I want to ask Matthew now, because you have him 14th amongst all running backs. You're the highest ranker at ESPN on Daryl Henderson. After last night's news, are you considering adjusting Henderson's spot?
Not until we get more definitive. Like, you know, if I knew he was going to be out for...
Well, we know. He just said he's going to play in week one.
Exactly. So, like, so no. So, you know, the answer is no, right? Like, if we got definitive news that he was going to be missing time, then yes, I would. But because Stefania says he's going to play in week one, no. I mean, this is somebody who is on my love list. Like, I'm at running back 14. To your point, his ADP is RB21. Here's the thing. And we've talked about this a little bit, but just very quickly, the lead running back of a Sean McVay offense, whoever that guy is, has immediate fantasy value. Immediate fantasy value. Because this is a team that was second in red zone rush percentage in 2020, that has been third in red zone rush percentage since Sean McVay came to the Rams. A lot of that fueled by Todd Gurley, of course. But even in Todd Gurley's last season in Los Angeles, when it didn't seem like he had a lot left in the tank, he still scored double-digit touchdowns. You know what I mean? Like, he has always had a productive fantasy running back dating back to, you know, even when he was in Washington and he was the offense coordinator there for that team. So just whoever the guy is that's the lead running back of a Sean McVay offense running behind a pretty good offensive line is going to have value. And then you add somebody like Daryl Henderson, who you and I have talked about, is a good football player. Yeah. Maybe not as good as Cam Akers and whatever, but last year when he got an opportunity, he produced. He had six different games with 12 or more touches last year. He averaged 14.3 fantasy points per game, which on a per-game basis basically been doing running back 17.
Yeah.
And now he's got the opportunity to be the guy on an offense that we think is going to be a lot better because they're going to be in scoring position more often and more efficient with Matthew Stafford under center. I don't understand. And by the way, there's no Cam Akers. There's no Malcolm Brown. Like, look, they like Xavier Jones. That's the insurance you want to, if you draft Daryl Henderson. They got Jake Funk there. But unless they sign a veteran, it's the Daryl Henderson show. He's a nice pass catcher. Give me all the Daryl Henderson this year.
Interesting. I see it differently. Yeah. I do. I have too. My concerns. Again, because
what
of
are
the
your
fact
concerns?
That my concerns are that.
They don't think that Daryl Henderson can handle that job the way you think he can handle the job. I don't believe, and I saw the Rams when they were having joint practice with the Cowboys, just that the buzz, the feel I got was that their ears were open and eyes were open to the potential that they might get someone else late in the preseason before the season begins.
Which is totally fair. My argument on Daryl Henderson, my counter to that is I don't think Daryl Henderson needs 20 touches. Like, again, this is a guy with a lot of scoot. If he gets 15 touches in this offense, which I think is completely reasonable.
Yeah, like, I mean, I guess
that's a mid-tier RB2, man.
Maybe. I think the problem is that, like, basically since his rookie season ended, there have been many more indicators suggesting that the Rams don't want to make him a high-volume guy than there have been indicators that they do want to make him a high-volume guy. The strongest indicator has been that the player who got him on the bench got hurt in a freak accident training for training camp.
Obviously, but my point is that my argument to that is, like, he doesn't need to be a high-volume guy in this offense to be fantasy productive, especially where he's going.
Well, I've
at
got him
running back 21.
So I've just put the lower on him.
You're lower on him than consensus.
Evidently so.
As we wrap on that, really quickly, I want to ask one quick question. Field, understanding that you're not quite as high, and neither am I, is there a backup or is there an insurance policy in that offense right now that you think is worth drafting if you're not that high in Daryl Henderson?
Not drafting an insurance and policy there yet, because also the thing that we didn't get to say is that, you know, you said the lead back in a Sean McVay offense, like, they had three different lead backs last year. Like, they wanted to make it a committee up until Cam Akers gave them no choice. So, again, when I was talking about Henderson, when Cam Akers initially got hurt, so there's kind of one of two ways this goes. The Rams go all in on him, or he gets hurt almost right away, and we're talking about him by week five being, you know, either on the bench or somebody else having more carries. And
oh, by the way, they now have a quarterback who can throw the heck out of the ball, who I think will be throwing into the end zone a lot more often.
Just to say, last thing is that, like, I do think the idea of them adding a veteran running back is more in play now than it was before. And as you look around the league, how many teams have we seen that you're like, how are they going to keep all of these running backs? I mean, guys like Tony Jones last night are flashing for the Saints. Like, we've seen tons of players in the preseason that look like NFL running backs, but are also fourth or fifth string on their respective rosters. All right, let's get to the pass catchers to wrap things up. And let's begin with Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp. I did the blind resume out of order. My bad. But Robert Woods is kind of just steady, right? I mean, 93 catches. I'm sorry. His projections for this year via Mike Clay are 93 catches for just under 1,050 receiving yards and 6 touchdowns. Well, that sounds about right. You know why? Over the past 3 years, he has over 85 receptions. Matthew, he may not have quite the same touchdown equity as players ranked in the top 10, but that's why he's not in the top 10. Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, to that end, are both basically high floor, maybe not gigantic ceiling, but high floor wideouts who are just rock solid.
Rock solid player, always underrated in fantasy. We've talked about him. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's the fantasy community has finally caught up on the fact that Robert Woods, because I feel like every year he's on my love list, because every year I'm like, guys, he's going way too low. He's underrated. He's going to produce. Every year he does. So finally, like, I'm at wide receiver 14. His ADP is wide receiver 14. So I think people are expecting this offense to improve with Matthew Stafford. But to your point about Robert Woods, this is a guy who was tied for 8th among wide receivers in red zone target share last year, had at least 5 targets in every single game. Like, he is a target monster. He is the lead wide receiver in this offense. I think Matthew Stafford's going to absolutely love it. The other thing about Robert Woods is a very good route runner. Like, you tell him 20 yards and out, he's doing 20 yards and out. Like, not 21, not 19. Like, he's really, really good and precise, and that works great in what Sean McVay likes to do.
And the Rams use both of those wide receivers as an extension of their running game with some of the screens that they run for both Robert Woods and also Cooper Kupp. Both of those players, guys that we feel like not going to lose your league by drafting Robert Woods or Cooper Kupp.
23% target share for Robert Woods last year.
It's absurd.
Like, yeah.
Last player here for the Rams, Matthew. He's kind of an interesting one because he broke out at the end of the 2019 season, that being Tyler Higbee, right, the tight end.
We didn't really talk about my little Cooper Kupp, but we love my little Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, no, that's it.
Also basically solid.
Yeah, he's 90 catches in back-to-back years for Cooper Kupp, paid handsomely. Was it $17, $18 million per year for Cooper Kupp? This is a player that the Rams feel is a core part of their foundation and should be right around 90 or so catches again this year, maybe even closer to 100 with improved quarterback.
And we'll see. Jared Goff used to look for him in the red zone. That's the only question about Cooper Kupp this year is, does he get the same kind of red zone looks that he has previously when Jared Goff was under center?
But my guess is yes. For Kupp. So it wasn't like he
got some unlucky. He definitely got unlucky.
Last one, though. Let's get Tyler Higbee one more time. Tyler Higbee was a breakout player in 2019. That was awesome down the stretch. Last season, though, just 44 catches, 521 yards, and 5 touchdowns. But Matthew, there's no Gerald Everett for the Los Angeles Rams anymore. Does that mean that Tyler Higbee should be drafted as a starting tight end?
It's certainly where I have him. I have him borderline top 10. His ADP is currently tight end 14.
What a headshot he has, by the way.
Yeah. Tyler, yeah. Kind of got some, some Daniel Dopp-ish without the beard.
Hey, now.
Kind of got the long hair.
Dopp, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I got to pull this out.
It's all good. But the thing about
it's all good. You don't want me to do that, Matthew? Is that why you said it?
Oh, go ahead. Knock yourself out.
He looks great.
Anytime you want to, let that let your hair flow free. I believe you're now 6'2 with the afro.
Stop.
It's a Fletch quote.
I love
for you. For the oldies here in the audience like me. All right. So 14.6 in 5 games with 5 or more targets last season. Like, when he has gotten an opportunity, he's produced. They signed, they drafted Tutu Atwell. They have DeSean Jackson as well. Van Jefferson's a second-year player. But I would argue that the number 3 pass catcher on this offense is going to be Tyler Higbee. We have seen this guy be dominant in fantasy. When we saw him, it was a small sample size. It was 5 games. But when he has been dominant in fantasy, it's when Gerald Everett isn't there. Everett is now in Seattle. They have a rookie tight end named Jacob Harris. They like him a lot, but feels like he's probably at least a year away. I do think there's a big target share happening, potentially happening here for Tyler Higbee.
Interesting player. Again, I just think that tight ends, it's so hard to sort them out, especially when he is such a valuable part of their offense as a run blocker.
Yeah.
That's the reason why they have doubled down and reinvested in him. And Tyler Higbee, I like him. He's fine. He's part of that big group of tight ends that don't
quite know. His ADP is tight end 14.
Yeah, it's fine. Like, it's about
where he belongs. He's a borderline tight end 1. Yeah. I've seen him go even later than that.
Daniel, what do you got?
I think we're good on the Rams, right? I saw something that came across the wire, and I wanted to mention it to you guys.
Okay.
I saw the Atlanta Falcons release Javion Hawkins 13 minutes ago.
Interesting.
Which is interesting because a lot of fantasy people thought that, maybe behind Mike Davis. I'm curious, is there anybody else in that Falcons running back staff now outside of Mike Davis that gives you any kind of pause? And is that maybe another reason to look at Mike Davis a little bit nicer, but like...
He is comparable to Daryl Henderson in that we'll have a clear snapshot at the end of the preseason. The Falcons could easily acquire somebody off of waivers around the league. There are going to be running backs that are going to become expendable. We've talked about it. There are the Saints are a team that's got an extra running back perhaps on the roster. We've talked about how we're talking about New England, right? I mean, Ramondre Stevenson's been unbelievable. The guy might not have any role this year, right? There are plenty of teams that have a lot of running backs. Somebody is going to benefit. One team's extra running back is another team's treasure.
True. And, I mean, like, I guess if I had to pick one, I guess Kadri Allison would be my guess on Atlanta, but doesn't feel like that if something were to happen to Mike Davis, feels like at the moment, it would be more of a committee and not anyone that you would really want to invest in. That is interesting, though, that Hawkins gets released. That's a weird one. Just, right, kind of a little bit of a buzzy rookie this year, you know, and so interesting.
I have to figure that out through the Fantasy Life app, Daniel.
I actually saw it on Twitter through the Atlanta Falcons. They tweeted it out. That's why.
There you have
Although
it.
The Fantasy Life app is fantastic, they probably also tweeted it.
I appreciate that.
It is fantastic. Hey, that's going to do.
And it's free. It's 100% free.
100% free. Great show. That's going to do it for today, though. Thanks for watching the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. We'll be back tomorrow with the Seahawks and the San Francisco 49ers. Stefania's favorite day of the year. That'll do it for us. Talk to you on Wednesday.
Peace out!
He's a fantasy guru in a boat on an island, going full Haynesworth without even trying. Award-winning creations like his news or noise segment are reasons we all love the cut of his jib. Fast and strong, portaling away again in Matthew Berryville, searching for a field shoe in a pile of junk. When you lose a bet, you have 1 year to pay. He's the king of football fantasy.